Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Was that in C? Yeah. That's what we used to sing it in, but I sort of lost my voice after preaching on Sunday night, and you guys probably wouldn't know it, but yeah. you can sure tell on that song. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be back together once again? Just appreciate the opportunities that we have to come together. Just sharing with our brother Andrew Glover here just a few moments ago that, you know, we probably tend to take for granted what we have. It's just human nature that, you know, we just take for granted that we can always come to church. We take it for granted that we can always have a visiting minister, and, you know, that we can always shake one another's hands, give one another a hug. And then when you can't do it, you realize, wow, I've really been blessed. You know, we're still blessed, but I, you know, it's just the law of contrast. You sometimes have to lose something to realize what you have, and trust that you won't. That only goes so far. You don't have to lose your salvation to appreciate what you have, but there's a lot of other things, a lot of just things that we don't intentionally take it for granted, but we do, and you know, I. When we went on this last hunt, I left the trailer, and before I left the trailer, gave my wife a kiss and told her I loved her. And she says, "What's that for?" And I said, "Well, you never know when it'll be the last time that you say that." She's like, "You know, well, that's real reassuring." You know, she was going to go back to sleep, and you know, and I said, "You know, it just dawned on me that we just don't know how much time we have." And we should, instead of looking at it as something bad, look at it as just appreciate what you have. And appreciate every moment of what you have. And praise the Lord. So I'm going to keep you standing for just another moment. Our brother Andrew Glover is ministering for us tonight. And we're excited to have him. And we just wish everybody could be here. We know that there are several that are either self-quarantining because they've traveled or come in contact with others. There are some that are sick, and I just want to remind you, and we got to hear things a few times, so it's okay, but I just want to remind you that particularly now, because we're moving into the flu and cold season right along with COVID, if you are sick or if somebody in your family is sick, then we'd appreciate it if you would stay back and, you know, just considering other people, and because we don't know that it's just a cold, you know, and for some people, COVID will just be like a little cold, right? But then what they share with somebody else could be much worse. So, just a reminder: I don't think that you know, nothing's happened. So it's just a reminder. Instruction is better than correction. It's just instruction. And we got to hear it a few times sometimes. So. I appreciate all that you're doing, each and every one of you, for your brothers and your sisters, because what you're doing is making this possible. You know, I think we've just had one couple that, no fault of their own, came down with the COVID so far, and had to stay out. But you know, and we're not saying that won't happen again to someone else. We don't have a promise that we won't get sick. We do have a promise that we have a healer. Yeah. Right. I'm not promised that I won't have a trial. In fact, I am promised that I will have a trial. Right. But I'm also promised that he'll make a way. So, you know, we just want to keep doing what we know to do, because we know that it makes sense and that it does make a difference. And you know, it's protecting our brothers and our sisters. And so just keep it up. You know what you're doing. You're doing the right things. And just keep doing what you're doing. Just so you know, I track it every day. I watch because I feel it's my responsibility to know, you know, as a shepherd, to be aware of what we're facing. And so I watch it, and we're starting to ramp back up again. Right. It looks like another wave is coming through. may not be like the last one, but there is another wave coming through. So just in case you're thinking, you know, that went by and we don't have to worry about it. It's the beginning of flu season, and my personal thoughts on it is I think the snowbirds are returning, and they bring more than just their suitcases with them. And then school, you know, the university and what have you, and then people traveling. And, you know, that's the biggest thing is with traveling. So you know, we don't know. We just take it day by day. But just it's just a reminder that, you know, it isn't over until it's over. And I expect that, you know, it'll be mid next year before we really start, you know, vaccines are available and, you know, herd immunity is starting to be established, whatever it is that gets us through this to where we can relax a little bit. I think we're, you know, a good 9 months away probably. So just keep that in mind. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that we can do this, aren't you?
Amen.
And I'm glad to have our brother Glover with us tonight because, you know, what would we have done if we'd have known that that was our last visiting ministers that we were going to have in February? I mean, it was right after those awesome meetings. And we were so blessed. It was just right after that that this hit, right? And 15 days, all right. That's how it started at first, you know, 15 days to kind of slow the spread or whatever. And, you know, doesn't that seem like years ago? February? It just, you know, seems like another time, you know. Just never thought we'd be living in a time like this, but I suppose that's how it always is throughout the ages. You know, you never really expect to go through what you go through, but you know that the Lord is in it and is with you, and we're trusting in Him every step of the way, and you know, we just keep going on, just keep pressing on. Anyway, brother, I just think it's fitting that Brother Andrew was with us at those meetings, and now, you know, we're going to get a return ministry tonight. So we believe in this kind of a return ministry. So you can ride this trail once again. So I haven't got him a horse yet, but so anyway, he knows my name. I have a maker, as our brother Andrew prepares to come. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. Amen. A father, I have a father. He calls me his own. Amen. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. Amen. You believe that tonight? He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. Amen. One more time. He knows my name. My name.
more time. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. Thankful for that this evening. He knows our name. He knows everything about us tonight. He knows every little detail of our life. The things that maybe no one else would even know, he knows. And the good thing is, he cares. Whether it's big, whether it's small, he cares tonight. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's just bow our hearts together as we approach him tonight and just ask him to come and speak to us by his word. Heavenly Father, Lord, as your believing children have gathered themselves together here this evening, Lord, first of all, we want to say that it is an honor to call you Father. Lord, it is a privilege to be identified by you in this hour. And Lord, when the world is looking for identity, they're looking for places to find, Lord, their identification with this group or this party or this whatever it would be, Lord, we are thankful that you sent a message in this hour, Lord, that would identify us as the sons and daughters of the living God. Lord, not gathering here tonight around a creed or a tradition or a political idea, but Lord, gathering here around the realities of your word. And Lord, knowing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, to think of the God that appeared to Moses and Paul and William Branham, that same God is right here in this building tonight. And he's not come for a historical affair, Lord, but you've come for a living reality tonight. And I pray, Lord, as we have sung the songs of Zion, we feel your presence among us. Now as we open up your word, may you now come, Lord. May you move us aside tonight, O God. May you move our thoughts, our motives, our objectives, our agendas. Move all those things aside tonight, Lord, that you could come and minister to your children, Lord. Father, for those who would be sick in body, I pray you would heal them, Lord. For those who would be bound, I pray you would set them free. Lord, may encouragement come tonight, God. May correction, whatever you would have for us tonight, God, may we receive it tonight, Lord. And may we leave this meeting tonight, Lord, edified by your presence. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers said, amen and amen. And if you have your Bibles this evening while you're standing, we'll invite you in the scriptures to the book of Proverbs. I have a few places I'd like to read this evening, if you wouldn't mind standing with me for just a moment. But in the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and while you're turning there, we want to greet you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sure count it an honor and a privilege to be here with you once again, and good to see everyone out on this Wednesday evening. And sure thank the Lord for Brother Doug. Appreciate his friendship and his stand on this message. And I just got to have some fellowship today. And I really appreciated something Brother Doug said. He said, you know, the friendship, you can just pick up where you left off. And I felt like we just picked right up where we left off in February. And but it's good to be back with you this evening. We want to bring you greetings from our pastor, Brother Sean Martin. We've actually moved since we was here last. In 1st of June, we moved to Blacksburg, Virginia. So we're there with Brother Sean Martin and the saints there. So he sends his greetings to you this evening. And we just want to look here this evening in the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter. And I've got one verse here in the third verse. Solomon writing here says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Wisdom builds a house. Understanding establishes the house that's been built by wisdom. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and the 8th verse, Paul here writing You'll pick up a word here from Proverbs over into 1 Corinthians, the word building. And Paul here writing in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8 says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build this foundation, build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try." Somebody say try. "The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now, in the book of first, or the second Peter, the first chapter, second Peter, the first chapter, we find that wisdom builds a house. Understanding establishes that house, and then Paul comes and tells us of a foundation and tells us some materials. And here in 2 Peter, he says in the fifth verse of the first chapter, "And besides this, giving all diligence," now we're going to find the materials to build the house. "Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge," add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound," Peter says, they make you, they build you, they establish you. "If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We ask the Lord this evening to add the blessing to the reading of his word. As you may have your seats for just a few moments. This evening, I'd like to speak to you here of something that's up on my heart. And if I would title this tonight, I want to speak to you on the material God built his church out of. The material that God built his church out of. And I think we're living in a day and time where there's a lot of talk about the economy. There's a lot of talk about what's going on in the world. And the main focus is jobs and jobs and who's going to bring jobs and who's going to take jobs. There's all kinds of talk going on in the world today. And you're right around town. And you hear people talk sometimes about how hard times are and how there's so much a struggle and so much a financial bondage or whatever it may be. But it's not hard to see that people still building. No matter how hard the finances is, no matter how hard the economy is, people, amen, are still building. And I think as they're building in the natural, amen, then at the same time there is a spiritual building taking place as well. Now, anybody knows that when you go to build something, you've got to have material to build it out of. Now, the message, the infallible word of God, he says, what kind of material are you built out of? He says, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Pentecostal, Nazarene, Pilgrim, Holiness. He says, if you're not built out of Bible material, he said, the boards drove on by the Holy Ghost, then you better tear off the boards and get built right. So there's only one material that God actually approves to be put in his buildings, and it's not Pentecostal material, it's not Methodist material or Lutheran material, amen, but a prophet says it's Bible material. That comes on down and says, I think every Christian ought to take the same attitude. That's right. We want to know where we are standing. We don't want our eternal destination, amen, built upon the shifting sands of some church theology, amen, but on the eternal word of the living God, right? Because remember, amen, every one of you sitting here tonight, stormy times is going to hit that building that you're sitting in. He says tonight, that's right, death's going to strike it, and you better know what kind of a sand it is, what kind of a sand it's built upon, amen, or what kind of foundation that it has. So, amen, a building could be a beautiful building. It could be a very very beautiful structure, amen, but if the foundation is wrong, then a storm will hit that building, amen, and great will be the fall of that building. Another place he says, amen, that people rise up and they claim to be this and they claim to be that. He said, and then they fail and so forth, but the church of God moves on. He said, the word of God moves on because she's made, amen, out of the right kind of material, amen. And to think tonight that you are not just church members, amen, you are not just citizens of a country and citizens of a state, amen, but you are a caliber of people tonight, amen, that has not come out of a denomination or has been built by a man, amen, but God has built his church, amen, amen. God has built his bride in the hour that we're living in. I find it amazing sometimes when you read through your Bible, you'll hear of men like Moses and Paul and Peter and James and John, amen, and you'll hear how all these men went through so many things, and you'll hear what they went through, and then something comes over your heart and says, well, I'd like to know how they got through it. Amen. I'd like to talk to them. I'd like to see how they got through it. And then it'll dawn on you, amen, that you don't have to go back and talk to Paul or Peter or James or John. Amen. Because the same God that got them through, amen, the same God that built them to get through what they went through, amen, is the same God that has come in this generation. Amen. The same God that built Paul is the same God that built William Branham. And that's the same God, amen, that built you tonight. Then I'll say it to you like this. You are a paradox tonight. Amen. Can I just preach to you for a moment? You are a paradox. Amen. And what is a paradox? A paradox is something that is incredible. Amen. It is hard to believe. You can't wrap your mind around it. Amen. But it is true. And I'll tell you tonight, the devil is howling. Amen. Satan is hollering. Amen. For the simple fact that you're still here. Amen. The devil's all tore up that this bride, amen, is still here. Satan hates it. Amen. That there's still a ministry upon the earth tonight that is preaching the power of this message. Amen. But I'll tell you why we're here. It's nothing we've done of our own accord. It's nothing we bought or nothing we earned. Amen. But God, amen, sent a message in this hour that was more than denominational material. It was more than wood. It was more than hay. It was more than stubble. Amen. But it was a stone, amen, that would be laid in the heart of the church. Amen. I don't know if you hear me tonight, but you are a paradox. Amen. You are a paradox. Amen. You say, how am I a paradox? You're living, amen, in a world of confusion, but you're not confused. Amen. You're living in a day and time where men love darkness, but you hate it. Amen. You're living in a time, amen, where they hate the very name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we've gathered here tonight for one purpose. Amen. That if I will be lifted up, amen, I will draw all men unto myself. And the same God that put that in the Bible is the same God, amen, that is here tonight to confirm it. Amen. Do you believe that this evening? Amen. If you can give me somewhere on this monitor, I'd appreciate it. Brother Bram says it this way. He says, see, the world is presuming right now. Now, what does it mean to presume? It means to venture, amen, without actual authority. Now, we find that the world is in a presuming state. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Political world is presuming. Amen. Religion is presuming. Government is presuming. President is presuming. Amen. It comes on down. It's a presuming day because there's a spirit of presumption that has been released in this age. Amen. But let's put it this way. It didn't stop there. Amen. But that same spirit came over in the church. Amen. To where now it's the church presuming. The religions are presuming. The Baptists are presuming. The Methodists are presuming. Amen. They're all presuming. Amen. But a prophet comes and says, this is not the hour, amen, to be presuming. Now, we are not presuming anything. We see it. We know that God is here. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the great God of Elijah, amen, the Holy Ghost, the witness of the last day, is pulling his ministry right into the church. Amen. The same thing that our Lord did. He said the high priest is descending, amen, from the throne to the church, and the church is heaping itself up with the word, amen, because he can only come to the word. Then may I announce to you tonight, amen, that the Baptists are presuming, the Pentecostals are presuming, amen, Lutherans are presuming, amen, the Catholics are presuming.
presuming, but there is a bride on the earth tonight, and she is not presuming. Amen. She has scriptural and supreme authority. Amen. Let me shout it from the pulpit, and you back it from the pews. We know where we are standing tonight. Amen. We are not standing up on the shifting sands, amen, of some man's idea. Hey, let's not leave presuming out there. Amen. We got presumers around this message. They presume about the third pool. They presume about the seventh seal. They presume about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But thank God tonight, amen, he sent a word in this hour. It was not a shifting word. It was an absolute, that there could be a people here tonight when the world is rocking and it is real. And there is a people that is standing here tonight and says, I know where I stand. I know what I believe. I know who my God is. My, there is a people here tonight that is not backing up. Amen. We are not blushing tonight. We know where we stand. Amen. The prophet said we have, amen, authority. Now, amen, how many believes that God is still calling? Amen. God is still calling. You say, well, Brother Andrew, the bride has already been called. Well, we're still here. Amen. So there's a seed somewhere. Amen. We're still here tonight. Amen. So somewhere in the earth tonight, there is still another bride member. Amen. But let me say this. Amen. When God calls a man, amen, he totally equips that man. Brother Bram said, when God sends a man to do anything, he completely equips him with everything he has need of. If God calls a man to be a preacher, he puts something in him to preach with. If he calls him to be a teacher, he puts something in him to teach with. If he calls him to be a prophet, he puts something in him, amen, to see visions and to be a prophet. He said God always, amen, completely equips his man. Now notice here, amen, if you're called to preach, he's going to give you some material to preach. If you're called to sing, he's going to give you some material to sing. If you're called to teach, he's going to give you some material to teach with. He said, see, God gives us every inch of material that there is of the kingdom of God, amen, to work with, to bring faith to the people. Amen. Gifts, he says, signs, wonders, everything to do it. Then see, tonight you are not called, amen, to be a church member. You are not called just to be a preacher. We're not called, Brother Doug, just to preach. You singers are not called just to sing. Amen. But there is a call that has come upon us and is called the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then if God has called you to be the bride, he did not call you to be the bride and then send you to find material, amen, to manifest the call that he placed upon your life. But before you was born, there was a gene seed that was laying on the inside of your soul. And a prophet said when the quickening power of the Holy Ghost moved across that seed, it quickened everything you have need of. Amen. In life's journey was laying in that seed. Amen. See, then the rapture's in you tonight. Amen. The resurrection is in you tonight. Amen. See, when God calls you to do something, he doesn't tell you to go find the material to do it with. Amen. But he equips you with the material you'll need to fulfill the call upon your life. Hey, when God called David to take Goliath down, amen, David didn't go create stones. Amen. God created those stones. Amen. And David found the material, amen, to take Goliath down with. See, when God calls a man, he calls him and he equips him. Now, in the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, you'll find there is a man there named Noah, and God called Noah, amen, to build. Somebody say build. He called Noah to build the ark. You see, God actually gave Noah the order, the form, and the use of that ark. In Genesis 6 verse 13, and God said unto Noah, that the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But make thee an ark of gopher wood. Amen. Room shalt thou pitch in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. Amen. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits. The height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark. And in a cubit thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, which is God, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. Amen. To destroy all flesh. Wherein is the breath of life? from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Amen. Now notice here, God, amen, is getting ready to bring destruction upon the earth. Amen. But before destruction comes, he calls a man, amen, to build something to escape the destruction that is coming upon the earth. Oh, he says in verse 18, but with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives, amen, with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, amen, two of sorts shalt thou bring in the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, amen, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive, and take thou unto thee all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it together, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Amen. Now that's a lot of instructions, isn't it? That's a lot of details. That's not just God saying, Noah, go get some wood and build an ark. Amen. But for about 20 verses right there, amen, he's telling him how big, how small, what to do, where to get it. Amen. And you know what amazes me? Amen. Is Noah doesn't say, wait a minute, God. Amen. I think we can do it just two stories. Amen. Wait a minute, God. I don't think we need to get gopher wood. I think we need to go get some poplar wood or some cypress wood. Amen. But my Bible says when Noah heard, he said according to all, amen, that God commanded him, Noah did. What God told him to do, amen, Noah just done it. Amen. Because God placed a call upon his life, amen, to build an ark, and he equipped him with the ability to do it. Now in the message, works is faith expressed. He says Noah's works expressed to man what his faith was in God's promise. Now God met Noah and he said, Noah, it's going to rain. I'm going to destroy the whole earth with water. Now it never had rained. That's the impossibility. And said, prepare an ark of the dimensions that I tell you about. Amen. And him being a carpenter, aren't you thankful that a prophet give us every little detail? He said, and him being a carpenter, he went to work and began to take his footadies, everything to cut the boards and fix it up there with the shittim wood and put the pitch in it just like he said. And do you imagine what people thought about that man? They said he's crazy. They said there's no water up there. Amen. But he isn't just saying that. Amen. If he is, it won't be too long. Amen. Before his works will be made known. See, Noah wasn't just talking something that he read out of an almanac or that he heard some other person say. Amen. But Noah received this from God, and he had a commission upon his life, and he was a genuine son of God who received the word of God, and that word bedded into him, and he went to bring forth the promise of the word laying in him. Amen. Now, we didn't know this until God sent us a prophet that there were other boats in the days of Noah as well as the ark. There was actually other boats. Amen. So Noah, amen, Noah was the fanatic. Amen. He was really a fanatic. Amen. For the way he was building the boat. Amen. He was not a fanatic for building the boat. He was a fanatic for the way he built it. Amen. Because at the same time Noah was building the boat, amen, the Joneses was building the boat. Amen. The Smiths was building the boat. Amen. But a prophet come along and said, but Noah was building that great boat. Amen. That was going to stem the tides. Amen. See, that was the difference. Amen. Between the Joneses' boat, amen, and God's provided boat. Amen. The Joneses' boat wouldn't stem the tide. Amen. But Noah's boat, amen, would stem the flood. Oh, I feel like preaching here tonight. He said, our boat, amen, will float as much as theirs. And a prophet said, no, it won't. He said, because if it's not a God-constructed boat. If it's not a God-constructed boat. Now notice here, Brother Doug, he takes this from the boat, amen, to our experience. And says, will you say, I belong to this church and I joined over here. That's as good as any of them. Well, brother, if we're not on the word and the word is not in us, then we're just presuming we're all right. Remember when the floods came, amen, only the God-constructed boat floated. Amen. They'd presume they'd been all right, but presuming you're all right and being all right is different. Unless it is constructed by God, it will not stand. Amen. A church that is not built by God, it will not stand. Amen. A ministry that is not built by God, it will not stand. Amen. A marriage that is not built by God, it will not stand. Amen. A young person that is not built by God, it will not stand. He said, see, no denomination, unless it's constructed by God's construction here, will stand. It has to come the way God said build it, it's got to be. Somebody say got to be. It's got to be Holy Ghost material, and Holy Ghost material, amen, makes Holy Ghost people. Oh, the devil don't like that, but I don't care. Amen. Because that's what we are tonight. Amen. We're not a bunch of hotbed plants. Amen. We're not a bunch of incubator chickens. Amen. But we're some Holy Ghost people. Amen. We still believe in the Holy Ghost. Hey, anybody here at Tucson tonight, amen, believe in the Holy Ghost? Anybody in this church believes the Holy Ghost still moves? Amen. The Holy Ghost still shouts. The Holy Ghost still dances. The Holy Ghost still casts out devils. The Holy Ghost still raises the dead. The Holy Ghost still gives visions. The Holy Ghost still performs miracles. I want the devil to hear tonight, we believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe it's here. Amen. It's what we're made of. We're not church material. We're Holy Ghost material. Amen. A Cyprus boat will make a Cyprus material will make a Cyprus boat. And a poplar material will make a poplar boat. See what I mean? And worldly material, amen, makes a worldly church. But a Holy Ghost material makes a Holy Ghost church. Brother Andrew, what are you trying to say? I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. Take that, devil. We're still here. We're still standing. You didn't get us. We still got victory. We still got joy. We still believe the message. We still believe William Branham was a prophet. We still believe there's going to be a rapture. We still believe there's going to be a body change. Hey, why? Amen. Because we're made out of Holy Ghost material. Noah's construction, amen, was according, amen, to the instructions he received by God. See, he knowed that his construction had been according to his instruction. Now, can you imagine, Brother Doug, when Noah's family climbed up in that ark, amen, and the door was shut by God, and Brother Branham says, maybe, amen, Noah checked everything. He checked every corner, made sure it was pitched in. Amen. He said, Mother, it's got to work. God promised it this way. Why, she said, I looked out and I saw the Joneses or so forth, and their boat sunk right down. Amen. And ours is still sitting on the ground. Amen. Noah, our boat's still sitting here. Amen. Their boat's already sunk. Why is our boat still sitting here? He said, then all of a sudden, it takes just a little more persecution and a little more judgment of God to bring it up. He said, and finally the waters got deeper and deeper. And after a while, amen, the whole family felt something move and the boat left the ground. Direct quote, she left the ground. Are y'all hearing me tonight? What are you saying, Brother Andrew? I'm saying keep on doing what you're doing. Amen. Keep on serving God. Amen. Keep on preaching the message. Amen. Keep on loving his word. Amen. You say, Brother Andrew, there's churches around us, amen, that's made a big boast that they don't have to have the message. Amen. But one of these days, amen, they're going to sink. Amen. But you're going to feel a charge, amen, that's going to come in this church. You say, Brother Andrew, what kind of charge are you talking about? Amen. I'm talking about the charge that is in this building tonight. Amen. The prophet said, while the others sank, amen, the ark was going up. The ark was going up. Amen. God in his word had fulfilled his promise. Satan tried him. Satan tried to discourage him. He tried to discourage him, amen, through the people of that day, through the religions of that day, through the science of that day. But see, Noah delivered what he received from the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Amen. Now look at what this word delivered means. It means to give over into one's power or use. It means to deliver verbally. Amen. Now notice here, when he delivered it, when God delivered verbally to Noah how to build the ark, amen, the very evidence that Noah received, amen, the message from God, was the Bible said all that was delivered you got to receive. Now look what the word receive means. It means not to withhold obedience. Amen. Amen. Not to withhold obedience. Then you can receive this message and say, well, I received it. I've got the books and I've got the pictures and I've got the tapes and I've got all that. Amen. But if you're not obeying it, amen, if you're not obeying it, you no more receive this message than the Pope has received it. Amen. Anybody can say they've received it, but the evidence of receiving it is when you give yourself to it. Ah, the prophet said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Amen. It may be that millions will hear these words, amen, or read them, but how many, amen, will pay heed to them, that we do not know. Amen. But he who will lend his ear, amen, see what Noah did? He lend his ear to God. He who will lend his ear, amen, and want to know the words of truth, will find the Spirit of God enlightening him. Can I read this? If your ear is open to the word, then the Spirit of God will make the word real to you. Amen. Now that is a work of the Spirit. I can teach you the truth, but if you don't open your ear to hear it and your heart to receive it, he says, then you won't get the revelation. Amen. So what did Noah do? Noah opened his ear to hear it. Amen. He opened his heart to receive it, and he gave his body to fulfill it. He opened his ear to hear it, his heart to receive it, and gave his body to fulfill it. Amen. Now you realize, in order to accomplish a project, amen, there has to be a master. There has to be a master. Amen. Which means there's got to come one in charge. Now, Brother Doug, I find it amazing, amen, that the ark would have never got built had Noah left the blueprint up for opinions. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Isn't it something that Noah didn't receive the blueprint for the ark, and Brother JJ take it down to the city hall and call everybody together and say, look at this blueprint. Amen. Isn't this the most odd thing you've ever seen? Amen. Surely we can make a change here. Surely we can add something here. Surely we don't have to put so many stories in it. Amen. Surely it don't have to be so big. Amen. Surely we can change something. Amen. No. Amen. God never did have two heads to his church. He never did. It's one head. Amen. Then God raised up Noah as the head of the ark building project and said, don't change it. You just say what I said on them tapes. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Don't you add to it. Don't you take away from it. Amen. Because had Noah changed one thing, his boat would have been in the same condition that the Joneses' boat was in. Amen. Because the Joneses didn't a bit more know how to build a boat than the man in the moon. Amen. But the God, oh, Brother Doug, I feel like preaching. But the God that was going to send the rain knew what it took to overcome the rain, and he instructed Noah on how to build it. Amen. And God, amen, who's going to send tribulation, amen, knows what it's going to take to bypass tribulation, and he sent a prophet in this generation with a message that would not be an avenue to tribulation. It would be a message of bypass from tribulation in to the rapture. Oh, get out of here, devil. We are not built by a man. We are not built by a church. We are built by God himself. Somebody shout, he is the master. Oh, say it like you believe it. He is the master. Oh, he is not an opinion. He is the fact. He is always dealt in every generation. Amen. There's always one individual that he deals with. Because you get two men, you get two opinions. It's got to come to one final absolute. And my absolute is the word. See, the Bible. Then who is Christ? Christ is the master of all things, and he is in all things. See, Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. See, he is before all things. That is in heaven, that is in earth, that is visible, invisible, or anything. This Son of God was before all things. Oh, whatever it might be in the great supernatural realms beyond, in the eternities where it was, whatever it was, angels, gods, whatever it was, he is before all things. Then he says it this way, there is nothing that can make it it run but him. There is nothing can make it run. Can I say it this way? There is nothing that can make it work but him. Whether it's God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, whether it's the angels, principalities, powers, or dominions, whatever it is, all things run by him. All things consist by him. Who is him? Him is Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is the master. Somebody shout, Christ is the master. See, then what does the word master mean? The word master means having or showing very great skill or proficiency. It means the main principle. It means the supreme one. See, then what is Christ? Christ is the principle. Amen. He is the principal theme of the entire Bible. See, why we got to go back to Bible material? Amen. Because the master of this building is the master of the material. See, what is the Bible? The Bible is Christ. He is the thing. He should be the principle. Then if he is that, he should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walks. Amen. He should be the principal theme of our life. If he's the principal theme of the Bible and the Bible is in us, if he's the principal theme of the material and the material is in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything we do, everything we say, everything we think should be Christ. Brother Andrew, what are you saying? I'm saying if Christ is not in this church, you might as well turn the power off. You might as well board up the doors and padlock the deadbolt, because it's another building with another bunch of religious people with another bunch of instruments. Oh, I'm going to preach here for a second. And another sound system and another pastor and another deacon and another young person. Amen. It's just another religious gathering. Amen. But if Christ is here, if Christ is here, if Christ is the principal theme of the songs we sing, if he's the principal theme of the words we say, if he's the principal theme of the prayers we pray, if Christ is in the church, that is a church that you can send trouble against, but it'll overcome the trouble. You can send sickness among it. It'll overcome the sickness. You can send division right in the middle of it, and they'll overcome the division. Amen. Because Christ has become the principal theme of that church. It's been built by Christ. Oh, whatever is done, amen, by Christ and for Christ, it will last. If it's done by a man, it'll fall apart. If it's done by a personality, it's only a matter of days before it's rubble and it's an ash heap. Amen. But if it's done by God, hey, amen, we're the family of God tonight. Can I preach to you for a minute? If it's built by God, you can burn the building, but they'll rise up again. Are you hearing me? You can try to burn them out. Amen, but God will raise them up. You know why? Because you can't burn Christ out. Well, somebody hurt my feelings. Amen, if Christ is the principal theme of your life, you can't hurt his feelings. Well, somebody didn't shake my hand. Get used to it for a while, okay? Amen. If Christ is the principal theme of your life, if everybody in the church ignores you, you'll come in there and you'll get your worship on. You'll get your praise on, because you know the only reason why I'm here is because Christ, amen, built me out of Bible material. Oh, my Bible says in David, in Psalms 127, David shouted, "Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house, then they that labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, amen, the watchman waketh but in vain." So David here is saying, amen, Christ, amen, has got to build the house. Amen, Christ has got to watch the city. Are you catching me tonight? Christ has got to be the center of everything, or it's a waste of time. Well, I know this preaching ain't popular, but let's preach for a minute. Amen. If Christ ain't the center of this message, then our message is no different than any other church. If we remove Christ from being the principal theme of our churches, of our meetings, of our conventions, of our youth camps, then we're no different. Amen. But if Christ becomes the center of it, amen, then you know what that means. Your opinion don't matter. My opinion don't matter. If Christ is in the middle of the church, then Him and Him alone is all that matters. Christ is the master of the building. See, then Paul would say it this way. Paul would say, I am a master builder. See what Paul was? He was a master builder. Why? Because Christ was in him. See, it wasn't Paul building. Oh, God. Amen. Are you hearing me? It wasn't Paul building. Paul was a surrendered vessel that Christ, the master, the principal, the skilled one, had claimed it was Christ building through Paul. See, that's why Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. See, then the spirit of the master had come into Paul. Amen. Now, how many knows, amen, that John Dillinger was a master murderer? He was a master killer. Amen. See, then if you're a murderer, you can be a murderer all day long. Amen. But if John Dillinger's spirit comes in you, you'll go from being a murderer, amen, to being a master murderer. You say, how did that happen? Because the spirit of the master came into you. All right, now let's come to a positive note. If you are a piano player, you'll be a pianist all day long. Amen. But if Beethoven's spirit comes in you, you will then go from being a pianist, amen, to a master pianist. Why? Nothing you did of your own, but the spirit of the master came into you. Brother JJ, I'm trying to behave right now. But Brother Doug, can I just go ahead and ask you, where do you want another door in this church? Because I'm about to put one in it right now. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen. Then how could Paul, amen, stand there and say, I am a master builder? Wasn't he boasting a little bit? Wasn't he bragging? Oh, no. Amen. He was a master builder because the master had come into him. Then can I say it like this? Amen. Doug Baker, a master builder. Hello. Brother Andrew, that's getting a little bold. No, it's not. The master's in him. There's no way a man can build a bride. There's no way a man can come in and build a church from nothing to what this church is tonight. Amen. But if Christ is in the man, amen, then whatever Christ does, it'll stem the tide. It'll overcome the storm. You can send every devil in hell against it, but they'll stand there because Christ is the one that built it. See, that's why Paul was saying, amen, he was saying a master builder who is a superintendent in the erection of buildings. Paul was not talking about a physical building. He was talking about a people. Amen. See, then when Solomon says a house is builded by wisdom, he's saying a people is builded by wisdom and is established by understanding. He's talking about a people. The church was not a building. Amen. The church was a body. It was a body of people who truly believed in Jesus Christ. See, then God gave Paul the grace. He gave him the strength. He gave him the power and the ability to reach people for Jesus Christ and to assemble them together into a body to worship God. Amen. Now, this is just too fitting. I didn't plan it this way, but this is just too fitting. Amen. If Doug Baker had built this church, if any other man had built this church, then when a fire broke out in here and there was no place to meet, if it was only a building, you would have been scattered. Amen. But because the church was not a building, you could square your shoulders back and say, devil, burn us out. We'll go get an auditorium because the church is still here. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I pray, God forbid, but tomorrow, if this building was ashes, the church would still be here. Well, Brother Andrew, one day they're going to shut the doors. And if they do shut the doors, the church will still be here. Because the church is not a physical building. It is the people that has been claimed by the master himself. See, then that tells me whether they met, where they met did not matter. Oh, glory. They could meet in a home. They could meet in a hut. They could meet in a cave. They could meet in a field. They could meet in a backyard. They could meet in a public building. They could meet in a church building. It did not matter. Because wherever the church was, they could have church. Hey. Can we stir up that old Pentecostal fire tonight? Amen. Come on, church. Well, Brother Andrew, if we're going to have church, we got to be in a church setting. Oh, no. Amen. If the strength and the grace and the ability of Jesus Christ, amen, has claimed your body, and you meet another believer in Lowe's, and you begin to talk about how good God is, how rich His Word is, how powerful the Holy Ghost is, when you begin to talk about the Master, and the Master begins to come near, oh, you can put us in a barn, you can put us in Walmart, and we'll have church. You know why? Because we are the church that the builder, amen, is built by wisdom, that is established by understanding. A few months ago, Brother Doug, we weren't able to meet in the building there. So you know what Brother Sean did? He got up with some brothers. He said, we're going to have drive-in services. So we went out and got a trailer. They had a trailer there. Some brothers went out there. Amen. I think Brother Sam Jones watching tonight. God bless you. Amen. Brother Sam went out there and he did some building. And a bunch of brothers did some building. Brother Sam got a cross out there and some things. Amen. You know what? We sat in our cars and had church. Hello? Brother Sean said, if you want to say amen, just honk your horn. Amen. Brother Dougie said, you know what? I never got so many amens in my life. Amen. Just put somebody behind the horn. They'll sleep in church, but they'll honk behind the horn. Just goes to show, well, I better shut that. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me? Amen. But it didn't stop us. Amen. You know what? It come around April and the meetings were planned. Couldn't have meetings. Brother Sean said, you know what? We ain't going to have the devil get one over us. We'll have a drive-in meeting. Are y'all hearing me? Because the church is not bound to a building. It is a body of people that Christ has claimed. Therefore, the church is not exactly a church building, but a church is where the people have gathered at. See, the building is where the people have gathered at, but the church is where the people have gathered in Christ. Therefore, the church is not an organization. The church is not a gathering of people. The church is the people of God that's been called out of the world to serve in another kingdom. See, then through seven successive church ages, God has been building a people. God has been building a church. See, we already have the stones all the way from Ephesus to Laodicea. We're only waiting for that headstone that the builders rejected. In the first seal, the true bride will be made up of thousands times thousands of people, but it will be the elect out of every age. All right, will you remember that one word for me there? Elect. In the harvest time, look, hurry, and there must come a true seed. See, he's coming for it, a word vindicated bride. But see, the bride is going to be made up. Amen. She's going to be built up. Amen. She's going to be made up of all down through that had the word in their age. It's not just this last group, but God is going to take the whole thing out of there. See, then you tonight are not the only part of the rapture tonight. Amen. But God has been building this church all the way back from the beginning. Revelation 1:12 says, I turned and I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the what? The midst of the seven golden candlesticks was what? Two? Is that what it says? Was there two? Was there three? Was there four opinions? Was there four heads? There was one like unto the Son of Man. And who is the Son of Man? The Son of Man is Christ. Oh, I'm trying to behave on a Wednesday night, but I'm about to take off here. Amen. There was one like unto the Son of Man. Amen. See, then there was one master, but there were going to come seven builders who were going to be drawing from the master. Then it was not Martin or Luther or Columba. Amen. But Martin was a master builder. Paul was a master builder. Are you hearing me? Amen. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. See, then seven stars. Amen. Seven master builders. Each age had a messenger that was building by Christ in the star messenger of that age. See, then how will the Ephesians come out? Because Christ got a hold of Paul and built them through him. Amen. How will Smyrnians come out? Because God claimed their messenger. Amen. And built the Smyrnians through him. Oh, let's not leave it there. Amen. The seven stars are the messengers to seven successive church ages. They were steadfast in their loyalty to that original light. Amen. Here we go. Their strength was from the Lord, or they could have never stemmed the tide. Yet we heard that tonight already. It could have never stemmed the tide. Then if God didn't build them, they would have never stemmed the tide. If God didn't build them, they would have never overcome the deeds of the Nicolaitans. If God didn't build them, they would have been deceived by Jezebel. Amen. But because Christ, amen, had claimed them and had built them, amen, they were yielded to him. Ah, the prophet of God said, they say, well, that Roman Catholic Church, that's got to be the real church because it stemmed all this trouble. It's gone through all the persecution. He said, any church with a government behind it and politics behind it is not a mystery to me on how it made it. Brother Doug, he said something the other day about blew my socks off. He said this way, he said, any church with a government behind it, with its own creed, which isn't the word at all, and with no manifested ministry to cause the devil to get aroused, could surely carry on. Then the devil hates a manifested ministry. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen. But what God give the messenger and how he blesses and uses the messenger is an example of all believers of his goodness and care to all members of his body. Now we'll agree that Paul was a master builder. We'll agree that Martin was a master builder. Luther, Wesley, they were all master builders, right? Can we agree that William Branham, by the same grace of God that was given Paul, was a wise master builder of this age? See, and he would say it this way. He would say, Christ sent me. Who? Christ. Who is Christ? The master. Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse and the dwelling place of the Spirit by his word. See, build up the individual to that place. Now we're tonight here made up of light meters. Amen. But do you realize if you can push the cosmic light aside and the eternal light comes in, amen, then a prophet said God could dwell supremely to do our thinking, to do our walking, to do our talking, then it's no longer the man, it's God in the man. Then do you see what happened to Paul? Paul was a man like I, was a man like Brother Doug. Amen. There was cosmic light in Paul's body. Amen. But cosmic light, amen, is a temporary light. Amen. But eternal light, amen, came down and pushed the cosmic light aside and took control of that body. And it was not Paul walking. It was not Paul talking. It was Christ talking through Paul. It was Christ walking through Paul. What are you saying, Brother Andrew? I'm saying may that same Christ, amen, come and love divine fellowship tonight, Brother Joel, and take our bodies, amen, and push the cosmic light aside. It wants to think our own thoughts, wants to do our own thing. We'll push that light aside and let the eternal light, amen, the supreme light, the Messiah light, amen, come in and take control. Amen. Come on, can I preach to you for a minute? Amen. Cosmic light is no different than denominational light. Because what's denominational light? Man-made light. It's human light. It's human element light. But if the human element goes out and the supernatural element comes in the church, it's God in the man. Now, every building must have a foundation, right? Do you realize there's two types of foundations? My Bible says there is one that is built upon a rock. There is another one that is built upon the sand. Now in Isaiah 28:16, the Bible says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. Who is Zion? The bride. Behold, I lay, can I say it this way, in the bride. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, all right, a tried stone. I'm coming home now. A tried stone. A precious stone. A cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Somebody say this with me. A sure foundation. A sure foundation. Now, Brother Andy, if you can leave that up there for me, I'd appreciate it on that screen. I want you to look at that for a second. Because in John 6, amen, Jesus comes and says, except you eat the blood or eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you, right? And some of them heard it and said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And Jesus said, did this offend you? And from that time, many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. But then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? But then Simon Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. What does that say right there at the next to last sentence? A what kind of foundation? A sure foundation. Notice what Peter says. And we believe and are sure. Oh, glory to God. We believe and are sure that thou art the master, that thou art the principal, that thou art Christ, amen, the Son of the living God. See, Brother Bram comes along and says, to whom shall we go? He said, now notice here. He said, there's seven things we can only get by coming to Jesus. And one of them is Jesus is the only, amen, safe and sure foundation. He's the only safe and secure foundation. A lot of people build up on riches. What does it do? It leads to a slavery. You become a slave to your money. See, there are just as many penny heirs as there is millionaires will be in hell. Now, if you build up on riches, it will fall. Now, notice here, America is trying to build up on the foundation of popularity. Amen. Young people try to look and they try to act like the television and the movie stars. Amen. Because they're popular. Amen. But a prophet said, what does it do? It leads to a ruined life of chaos. It stubbles of hay. Where did we hear that word hay at? Where Paul said, wood, hay, and stubble, amen, shall be tried by fire. And it will not stand the day of its trial. Brother Bram says many people are building upon the foundation of education. Amen. School is all right, but it'll never take the place of Christ. Amen. A brother said this way, we're talking about education. Now they're all right with education. We don't want a bunch of illiteracy, but we want education in its place. But the trouble of it is we tried to educate our pulpit. And when we did, we took the way out. And Christ is the foundation and that way. Now, this may stump your toes, but just forgive me. Now, listen, many times, education leads to the demon of education. And that demon of education leads you to a know-it-all. And when you get there, then you become an infidel and deny Christ. So you can't build upon the foundation of education. Then how come, amen, brother, we have gotten boys thinking they're girls. Amen. And girls thinking they're boys. Amen. And 9-year-old kids being given access to surgeries that will mar their body for their entire life. Well, we're here. We might as well take the gloves off and preach, hadn't we? Sure. Amen. Are you with me tonight? It's a perversion. You know why? Because they left the sure foundation and they brought education and they built pulpits on education. They built ministries on education and they'll everyone fall in the day of trial because anything apart from Christ will be rubble. We cannot build upon the foundation of political powers. Both parties are rotten. Say amen right there. This nation needs to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, now notice here. Amen. Laodicea is miserable. What are they miserable for? Amen. Miserable means pity. They vaunt of what they have, but what they have will not stand the test of time. Amen. Can I have Isaiah 28:16? What they have will not stand the test of time. Amen. It has not been tried. Amen. They have built upon quicksand rather than the rock of revelation of God's word. Soon cometh the earthquake. Soon there will come the storms of the wrath of God and judgment. Then comes sudden destruction. Amen. And in spite of all their carnal preparation, they will still be unprepared for what comes upon the earth. See, the Jones's boat was carnal preparation. Now notice what he says they built on. They built on beautiful churches. They built on lovely parsonages, grandly trained choirs, a show of wealth. Amen. A sedate and reverent form of worship. Amen. But none of that, amen, will stand when the test comes. When you build a building, you've got to dig down. Somebody say dig down. You've got to dig down and lay the right foundation, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid in Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation. I'm coming right here to Isaiah 28:16. 1 Timothy 6:19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. Are you with me now? Against the time to come. What did Isaiah prophesy? Amen. Behold, I lay in Zion. I'm about to take my shoes off and put my preaching shoes on. Behold, I lay in Zion. Behold, I lay in the bride. Amen. A tried stone. Amen. And he says, I laid a good foundation against the time to come. See, Paul's writing Timothy, speaking of you. There's a time coming where everything that can be shaken will be shaken. When everything that can fall will fall. Amen. But there's going to be a bride. Oh. Oh, nevertheless, amen, Timothy says, the foundation of God, it standeth sure. Amen. Are you seeing it now? Amen. What does that word sure mean? It means steadfast. Amen. Steadfast in the faith. Then Peter comes along and says, wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. Precious. A precious. Oh, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, Brother Doug, we've all heard this quote, but it may come alive to me the other day in my study, and I about shouted all over the place. He says, God's only provided a place of worship, then a new creation, not to a denomination, but to the word. You are a creation of the word, because the foundation stone was laid in you before the foundation of the world. Then today, Brother Joel, today I can read Isaiah 28:16. I can look across this congregation at people that's been through trials, that's been through hurts, that's been through disappointments, but they're still standing, and I can step back and I can say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled on the earth tonight. What are you saying, Brother Andrew? I'm saying, before you was born, there was a foundation stone in you. Brother Doug, before you took the first trial as a pastor, there was a foundation stone in you. Come on, deacons. Amen. Before the first trouble come, amen, there was a foundation stone in you. Musicians, amen, before the first person said something about your playing, there was a foundation stone in you. Get out of here, devil. Come on, church. Song leaders, amen, before Brother Micaiah, for amen, before one thing ever come against you to try to discourage you, amen, there was a foundation stone laying in you. Are y'all hearing me? Brother Andy is a preacher back there. Before the first trial come against him, there was a foundation. There was a foundation stone laying there. You say, how can you say this? Because God said there's going to be a people that when the world is fallen, they are going to be standing. Oh, somebody shout, I got it. Oh, no, shout it like you really got it. I got it. I got it. What do you got? I got the foundation stone. It's sealed. It's in my soul. Ain't no devil going to take it out. Ain't no trouble going to destroy it. It's a precious stone. It's a tried stone. Before you went through it. The stone in you already went through it. And because that stone was in it, it prophesied that when you went in it, you was going to come out of it. Brother Doug, been a few days since I've seen you. I got to introduce something to you here, okay? Brother Andrew, what's wrong with him? He's waving a white handkerchief through the air. Amen. Can I tell you why I'm doing this? Because I was listening to a tape, and the prophet said, right now, I can see the angels of God in heaven. He said the devil is waving white flags of defeat, black flags of defeat. He said, but right now sicknesses are being healed. Right now demons are being defeated. He said, right now, amen, souls are being saved. He said, right now healing is taking place in bodies. And he said, I can see in heaven the angels waving the white flags of victory. Brother Doug, when I heard that, I thought about something. I thought, amen, if the angels in heaven can wave the white flags of victory and they're not experiencing the victory, but we are, then don't you think we can get some white flags and let the devil know we are the victory. We are the victory. We are the bride that has got a sure stone, a foundation stone, and the times to come will not destroy this church. Oh, in order to build, you've got to have some material to build with. I'm coming to a close. You've got to have some material to build with. Amen. What is material? Material is a matter from which a thing is or can be made. Facts, information. So not opinions. Feelings, emotions. See, if you was a church built out of opinions, then the first person that expressed their opinion about you, you'd be gone. Well, let's just face it. The first person that expressed their opinion about this church, if it was built on opinions, they'd be gone. It'd be gone. But it's built on facts. See, then there's two types of materials. There's permanent material, then there's perishable material. Now, Paul says wood, or he says this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, permanent and valuable materials are materials that are not corruptible and do not deteriorate. They do not decay like the things of this earth. Permanent materials last forever. They are incorruptible. They are undefiled and they do not fade away. Woo! Then Paul says gold, silver, and precious stones are permanent materials. What are examples of permanent materials? Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit, amen, are permanent materials. Amen. 2 Peter 1, the seven virtues, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, amen, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Amen. Amen. Those are, amen, the eternal permanent materials. 1 Peter 2, the souls, amen, and lives of believers who have become living stones in the church that are built up a spiritual house. Those are permanent materials. When I get done here, I want to ask you a question, okay? Are you permanent or are you perishable? Are you permanent or are you perishable? We need to know some things, okay? Bible says, know them that labor among you. So can we get that out there? Are you permanent or are you perishable? What is perishable materials, Brother Andrew? They are perishable and combustible materials. See, they combust. At the least bit of fire, they blow up and they're gone. At the least bit of wind, they blow away. At the least bit of trouble, they fall apart. Amen. The materials and things of this earth are corruptible. They rust. They decay. They deteriorate. And Paul says those things are wood, they are hay, and they are stubble. Amen. Example of perishable materials in the scripture you can find in Mark 4. Amen. The treasures and the wealth and the cares of this world are perishable materials. In Galatians 5, amen, the works of the flesh, amen, are perishable materials. In Colossians chapter 2, false teachings are perishable materials. Amen. But can I go ahead and cap this off and say this? Amen. But God is building a bride for Christ, amen, out of permanent material.
Oh, the prophet says, we know there is going to be a bride. Now, a natural carpenter tells you how to build your natural house. Amen. But a spiritual carpenter tells you how to build your spiritual house. What is your spiritual house? It is the spiritual body. See, then there are two bodies today. There is the human body. Amen. Then there is the spiritual body. Now, notice here, the human body is made up of 16 elements of the earth. Amen. Calcium, petroleum, potash, cosmic light, all those elements, amen, are perishable, temporary material. The human body is made up of those. But then there is a spiritual body. And that spiritual body is made up of three elements. It's made up of the water, of the blood, and of the spirit. See, then the element that came from his body is what makes up his body. Now, do you realize, amen, the human body can only handle so much before it begins to break down, before it begins to deteriorate, before it begins to decay? Oh God. Help me tonight, Lord. I'm about to explode. See, it's made out of perishable materials. You say, well, bless God, I'm a believer, and I'm not made out of perishable materials. Bless God, my body don't break down. Amen. Now, get rid of that argument, okay? Amen. Because Job was a perfect man, but enough pressure, amen, come up on that human body till it began to break down, till his mind began to break down, till his nerves began to break down. But there was a spiritual body in there. Amen. That could rise up and could say, oh, though after these skin worms, amen, destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. See, Job, amen, had a permanent, amen, soul on the inside that his wife couldn't defeat it. Elihu couldn't defeat it. The church couldn't defeat it. What are you talking about tonight, Brother Andrew? I'm talking about a people tonight that the only reason you're here is because you're made out of permanent materials. He said, Brother Andrew, what are you getting at? I'll tell you what I'm getting at. This spiritual body, amen, called the bride. Time out. I got my timer going. Don't get nervous. Amen. The spiritual body, the bride. Time back in, okay? The spiritual body, the bride, can handle whatever is thrown at it. Throw COVID at it. She'll handle it. Come on. Throw end time events at it. She'll handle it. Why? Because it's God constructed. See, this bride is not handmade. She is spoken word created. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. If you can give me some more on this, I'd appreciate it. He is a new creature. See, then what is a creature? He is a building. Oh, this bride is the bride building of Christ. It is the body to receive the head. It is the formation of the body. Are you hearing me? It's a time-tested church. A lot's been thrown at you, but you're still here. Sis, a lot's been thrown at you, but you're still here. Brother, a lot's been thrown at you, but you're still here. See, because the prophet said Jesus Christ came from heaven, the glory. From glory down here to build a church. And the material that he's putting in it is time-tested material. You might come to the altar and make a confession, but when he finds blowholes and everything else, see, the world has blowed the maggots in you and so forth, you cannot stand. He just pitches you to one side. God wants a time-tested church. Not somebody is a Christian today and a backslider tomorrow. In and out, up and down. He can't place you. What is placing? Adoption. He can't place you nowhere. Oh, but this is the one the devil don't want me to read, but I'm going to read it anyhow because I've got victory. Amen. I'm going to ask you some questions right here, but he's got a church that's been tested. How many's been tested? Went through trials. Been through losses, been through sickness, been through sorrow, been through death, and still stand with a testimony.
That's the man. Yes, that's the man he's looking for. I don't care if you're a pumper. I don't care if you're a beggar. I don't care if you're a rag picker. Whatever you are, God puts the test to you. He's looking for time-tested material. When science says, how can it lose? Gravitation holds you to the earth. Oh, he says, now I feel religious. Let me tell you, Brother Bram knocks on the pulpit 6 times. He says that time-tested church will come into existence someday. Did y'all catch that? He didn't say it'll be found. He didn't say it'll be made. He said it'll come into existence, which is the connection with creation. There may be a half of them sleeping in the dust of the earth. I don't know where they're at, but God has got his material all tested. And one day, oh, one day, and I'll say one day soon and very soon, he is coming to take the forefront and say, follow me, and right through atmospheres and stratospheres and spheres into the presence of the Almighty God, he will go with a time-tested church. That's a memorial to his grace. That's a memorial that God give him. Brother Branham, I don't know if you're looking across the banister rail tonight, but if you are, let me say this. Behold, behold the time-tested church. Behold a word-built pastor. Behold a word-built church. Behold a word-built bride. This bride is not perishable. Perishable is man-made materials. This bride is permanent. Brother Henry, she's God-made. She's God-built. She's God-constructed. This bride will never pass away. This church will never pass away. You say, hey, you got scripture for that? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Wait a minute, Brother Andrew, that's the word. Well, prophet of God said she is the word. See, then according to Matthew 16, God promised to build a church upon the rock. A sure foundation. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the church that God built upon the rock, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Then what are you saying, Brother Andrew? I'm saying this. Just as there was many boats in the days of Noah, there are many churches and brides today. There has been churches, brides, brides, churches, brides, brides. But there has got to come one. Hallelujah. There has to come a real bride. There must be one come that's not only the mechanics, but the dynamics of it. Make that church live and move in the power of his resurrection. Well, just forgive me tonight. But behold, she is not coming. She's here. Bible material is here. A church that can stem the tide is here. A people that can take the pressure is here. As the musicians are coming tonight. Testing time will come, Brother Doug. It has come. It is here. And some more of it will come. But I'm not nervous tonight. You know what, brother? When we had to close down for a little bit and do some online services, and you know, get adjust to a new way of doing things for a little bit. I was at Walmart one day and I was talking to a denominational pastor. He said, when this is all over, I ain't going to have a church. I said, ain't going to have a church. He said, yeah. He said, when all this is over, my people ain't going to be there. I guarantee they'll everyone be gone. I said, well, I hate to hear that for you, but when this is all over, I'll be preaching the same people I was preaching to before.
Are y'all hearing me tonight? Nothing's going to take us out. 9 more months of this or 50 more months of this, we'll still be here. One more church trouble or 10 more church troubles, we'll still be here. One more preacher leaves the message or 100 more leaves, we'll still be preaching it, Brother Doug. Are y'all hearing me? One more young person leaves, you'll still be here, Daniel. Are y'all hearing me? Because it's a God-built church. It's a God-constructed work. It's a Bible material, and nothing can defeat it. Won't you stand to your feet this evening? The only thing that'll pass the test is a God-constructed church by the Word, filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled, chugged up, charged full of the Holy Ghost to stand right here in the middle of the pressure test and still be standing. Brother Andrew, end time pressure's coming. Let me just go ahead and tell you, end time pressure's not coming. End time pressure's here. It's here. It's not coming, it's here. It's here. World's falling apart, it's here. End time pressure is here. It's kind of funny, I was up in Ohio the other day and we were sitting around at Arby's with some brothers after service who'd been at Brother Ray's. And we were sitting there fellowshipping, and there was a minister, he spoke up and he said, brothers, he said, I don't know if y'all experienced this or not, some ministers. He said, I don't know if y'all have experienced this or not. He said, but as a preacher, he said, preaching sometimes you read a quote and you say, Brother Branham said, or you get to preaching some things Brother Branham said. He said, and you feel a bit like of a pressure or something. He said, it just kind of raises up. He said, it's like a pressure comes against you. Well, I was sitting there, Brother Doug, and Brother Wayne Lawson was sitting across from us there. And he said, yeah, and honestly, I had totally forgot about ever even preaching the message. But he said, yeah, he said, Brother Andrew preached that several years ago on end time pressure. And he said, you remember, Brother Andrew, you said one of the end time pressures is going to be able to quote a prophet. Just to be able to simply stand in the pulpit and quote a prophet. I totally forgot about it. But it's here today. I'm not saying it was a prophetic message. It was going on when I preached it. But it's just getting greater. But can I tell you tonight, there's some original Weatherby Magnums. There's some original guns that left the factory that won't blow apart when you put a little pressure on them. The prophet of God said it could not stand the pressure, that gun that was given to him. He said, and if we start out just pretending we're Christians without going back to the very basics to be born again, you'll blow up somewhere along the road. The pressure's too heavy. You can't stand it unless you're built for it. And you can't be built for it until God gets a hold of you and not just polish you up, but start you from the beginning and bring you to a real magnum, a real child of God, built to stand the Word, built to stand the pressure. The pressure of the day. I don't know about you, but I can raise my hand and say, thank you, God, for building me to stand the pressure of this day. That's the way of a Christian experience. We was talking about that today. When people are trying to put a cold, formal confession into a powerful Pentecostal church or experience, unless that person is built from ground up, built up, born again, regenerated, impersonators of it today, going around trying to impersonate speaking in tongues, trying to impersonate this and impersonate that, the gifts, if they're not born again, if they are born again, they cannot impersonate because they were built for those things. They're born, regenerated, remolded, not just something patched up and shook hands and got an emotion and danced around the altar a few times and says, I got it. It's something that's been remolded. It's been regenerated. It's become a new creature. It's become a new building. It's become a new building that wisdom has built, that understanding has established, that it can stand the pressure of the persecutions and the things that follows a spiritual life. You've got to be made and built to stand the pressure, and only one thing can do it. That's when you come into God's molding house and be torn down and rebuilt a new creature in Christ Jesus. Andrew, then what are you saying? I'm saying right here tonight, Love Divine Fellowship, if there is one person here that's not built by Bible material, I pray you would let the inspector tear the boards off tonight.
I pray you will let the Holy Ghost wrecking crew come in and wreck that building of falsehood, wreck that building of impersonations of a bunch of trying to be a Christian, and let the Holy Ghost, amen, build a real Bible church, build a real Bible man, a real Bible woman, a real Bible preacher. There's Bible material here today, and the Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here. The same Holy Ghost that built Paul is the same Holy Ghost here tonight. Brother Doug, I hate to ask this, but can I take 2 minutes? You said, Brother Andrew, I don't know about all this building stuff. Paul comes and says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Another place, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Another place, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, can I read to you who wrote these verses? Can I read to you who wrote those three verses? This man, he says this, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in dangers of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that's which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Testing 1, 2. Did you hear what he went through? Then he says, who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended and burnt not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus the governor under Artemas the king kept the city where the garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a widow in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped in hands. And then Paul comes along and says, my grace is sufficient for thee. What are you saying, Brother Andrew? I'm saying if Paul could go through all that and make it, we gonna make it. If he could be beat and be in danger and be ridiculed, he could stand and say, who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? I am not offended. I am strong. Is there any people here that says, I'm strong? I'm strong tonight. Not because a man built me, but because Christ. Christ. He built me. Let's bow our hearts together tonight. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I see the word is the absolute. I'm tied to it, determined I'll know nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He had a reason for it, and I'm determined to hold that reason. No matter what anybody else says, I don't disfellowship them or discredit them, but I know what I'm tied to. He wanted me like this. He had me like this. I was made like that for a purpose. I had to be made up of all these qualities and so forth and all these no accounts so He could dig it out of me and put something in there. That was His word. Mr. Satan, we're built out of stuff that don't bluff. With every head bowed, every eye closed, but with your heart open tonight, the inspector's here tonight, the master, the superintendent, the divine architect, the master of this building project, he's come down tonight to check how it's going.
Will you be honest with him tonight? Will you say, "Inspector, come by my way"? It's been a few days since my building's been inspected. Would you come and see if there's some material here that don't need to be here? Is there some jealousy and some envy and some pride? Is there some division? Is there some things here that don't need to be here? Tear those boards off tonight, Lord. Put Bible material in me tonight, God. Friends, pressure's here, but more's coming. Are you built to stand it? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight, dear God. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, we thank you for moving among us here tonight and speaking to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for a congregation that has been open to receive the word of life. Lord, I pray that something has been said tonight to help them. I pray something has been said to encourage them. Lord, I pray if there's one building here tonight. Lord, if there's one young man, one young girl, if there's one family here. Lord, if there's one deacon or one trustee or one musician, one song leader, one whatever tonight, one lay member that's not been God constructed, I pray you would come down tonight, Lord. I pray you would send the Holy Ghost in there to tear off every one of those boards. Tear off that old opinion board, and tear off that old complex board, and tear off that old denominational board, and tear off all those old boards that are perishable. Lord, if their foundation is wood and hay and stubble, may you tear it down tonight, dear God. For the day of trial is here. The day of test is here. And only those who can stand will stand on that great getting up day. Lord, I pray tonight that you would send strength into the meeting. May you send grace in the hearts of your children tonight, Lord. Father, I pray if there would be one here that, Lord, the pressure is getting so strong upon them that they don't think they can carry on another day. They don't think they can go another day. They can walk another mile. I pray tonight, God, that you would come down and reassure them, though they may be persecuted, though they may be going through trials, that because you built them, Lord, because you constructed them, is the reason they made it thus far. And if they made it thus far, they'll go the rest of the way. Lord, if there's one here tonight with a natural experience, may you tear it down tonight, Lord, and may you give us supernatural experience, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. 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 I defy the devil and every one of his works tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. I defy the demon of depression. I defy the demon of oppression. May liberty come tonight. May joy return. May victory return. May the fire of the Holy Ghost be rekindled in every heart. Oh, Satan, you've tried to beat the church down, but we're still standing. We're still here tonight. We still got the fire of God. We still believe in the Holy Ghost. We still believe in signs. We still believe in wonders. We still believe in miracles. We still believe in the supernatural. We are still here, Satan, because God constructed us in the hour we're living in. Oh, lift your hands up in this building tonight and give God a shout of praise. Give him some worship tonight. Let the Master know that you love him.